Welcome to the How and the Why. With John Barrett Ingalls. Exploring and celebrating the creative process and the creative purpose of authors, editors, and artists that make up and inspire the Black Hill Press family. Black Hill Press is dedicated to the novella. We believe a great story is never defined by its length. Let's get creative.
John Barrett Ingalls, and today we are connected with Ashley Heaton, editor of Mara and Psy Fidelity, and possibly some other titles coming out of Black Hill Press. Welcome, Ashley. Thank you for joining us.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So this is my second official live phone podcast. I don't even know what to call it. But you are my first editor. So I found that it's pretty easy when I'm talking to an author to talk about the book and the work and then go from there. I think this might be a little more difficult because, we could talk about the book. But, you know, I'm going to start by just talking about you.
Okay.
And why don't you give us a brief history of Ashley and how you got into this business?
Okay. Well, my background is mainly in editorial work for magazines. So I started off right out of college. I started interning at 944 Magazine, and I eventually ended up writing for them. And then I moved to an editorial agency, which has really allowed me to do work for all kinds of magazines around the world. So currently I edit for Harper's Bazaar China, Elle China, and I write, I produce photo shoots, so it's been really exciting. And then Kevin approached me about editing books for Black Hill Press, and it was really my first opportunity to do that, and I really jumped at the chance. So I was excited about it.
So you work with magazines, you were doing editorial work as well?
Yes.
Do you find there to be a difference in the work that you do with magazines as opposed to prose?
Definitely. With articles, it's very short, and, you know, you really want to distill the essence of what you're writing or what the other person's writing into something very concise and brief, and you really want to cut out all the fluff. With a book, it's a little bit more open-ended. It's, you know, it's longer in form. So it's not quite so much cutting down as just making sure that you're staying on track and going to the right place with the narrative, but it can be a bit longer. With the novellas, though, it is short, so it hasn't been that hard of a transition because it's really been the same idea for me.
Do you think you'll ever want to try, like, a full-blown novel at some point?
Possibly. I could see doing that. I'm interested in doing that.
Now, how do you approach a piece of work? I mean, do you glance over it, skim over it as just a reader, or do you just go in with the scalpel right away?
As an editor, it's kind of interesting because you really get to see the project before you take it on. So I've glanced over a lot of different books that have been proposed to me, and I've really taken on the ones that I glanced over and was really passionate about. So I kind of have an idea of what it is going in, and then I read it once afterward a little bit more carefully, and then I start going in. So I read it three or four times before it's completely done.
I know, as a writer, I dabble in the literary arts myself. But I know, like, it's easier for a writer to, well, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, I've never worked as an editor, but I feel like it's easier to just get it out. And
yeah.
And even when you're going back and editing your own work, it's easier to let things slide. And I imagine that it would be a lot more difficult as an editor. Like, there's just almost more of a meticulous, clinical, scientific approach. I don't know. Those are the only words that are coming to my mind.
Yeah,
but
that,
like,
that was exactly the word I was going to use, is scientific.
And there's more opportunity to miss things. Like, is that something that you've ever had to be like, oh, God, a fear that you've experienced? I hope I didn't miss anything.
Oh, every time. Every time you worry about that. The first book I edited, it was a little bit more challenging because I didn't really know the drill or how to get it completely finished. And I went through it one time. I thought everything was good. And then I sent it out and I realized that there were a couple other things that needed changing. So I scrambled to fix those. But it's definitely gotten easier as time goes on and I'm missing less things. It's all about just reading it multiple times and really focusing and looking at every single word and making sure that everything is perfect. It's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've read many things, newspaper articles, you know, from reputable newspapers, and you still see mistakes. And I just imagine,
yeah,
like, that's the one thing. Like, the article could be seamless other than that one little thing, and that's the thing,
yeah,
that the editor is.
Completely wreck it. So it's very important to me to go through many, many times and just make sure that there's nothing like that wrong.
So now, did you have an opportunity to choose what you got to work on for Black Hill Press, or were they projects that were presented to you?
It was a little bit of both. I was presented a few different projects. Each book that I wrote, Kevin said, you know, do you want to write this one? Do you want to edit this one? And I read through a few. There were a couple that I just wasn't passionate about, and I told him that. And High Fidelity was the first book I edited. I was really, really, really passionate about it, and I said, this is the one I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's a fun book. A little, I would imagine, because there's so many different formats in the book, did that pose a problem, or did you? Because he writes in screenplay format and play format and text format. I mean, I don't know how, if that affected you at all, or if that just made it more fun to play with.
It was fun. It was never boring. I think the way that Kevin described it was, it's a beast to edit. And I absolutely agreed with that. It's a lot to take in. You really need to make sure that everything integrates seamlessly. And in some parts, the different formats didn't, and we had to cut parts out. But I think that in the end, it ended up being really strong because we were turning such a careful editorial eye to it and making sure that it made sense and that it worked.
And then you chose Mara as well.
Yes.
And how did you find that differed from working with Alex's book?
I think different writers have different strengths. And with Alex, it was definitely the voice. It was his ability to tell a story and to be dynamic. And with Mara, it was more that she's just Veronica's a really brilliant writer. And her prose is perfect and beautiful, and it was just a really different experience because I immediately picked out what their strengths were and how they were different.
Mm.
But
with
Mara, it was a little bit easier. It was mostly just grammatical and syntax and making sure that the continuity was the same. High Fidelity was a little bit, it's a strange project. It's very unique. So that one was a little bit tougher, but it was really fun and really rewarding too.
Yeah, it felt like High Fidelity is more point of view as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of dialogue and, yeah, I mean, both great books. Now, I know that you, probably one of the reasons you lean to both of these, and you could disagree, but you do have an affinity for sci-fi and fantasy. And, now, how long has that been with you your whole life? Is that something that you've discovered later on, or were you a kid with a lightsaber?
I was the kid with the lightsaber. I've been a science fiction fan for a long time. My father was a huge science fiction fan, and he got me into, you know, Ray Bradbury and H.G. Wells at a really young age, and he loved Star Trek and Star Wars and all of that, so I've always been a fan of that. It's something I've really gotten more into recently because I've had a chance to work on projects like these ones, so I've had a lot of fun doing it. But anyway, I'm a huge nerd.
That's good. No, amen. We need more in this world. Actually, we've got a lot, and it's great. You know, I had got a talk with Veronica, and we had this whole conversation about film and TV media is drinking up sci-fi, and I talk with my roommate all the time and friends, like, for a nerd, this is such a great time to be alive. You have these Marvel franchises and DC franchises and the new Star Wars franchise, which, you know, hopefully will be good, but, like, it's just great. There's so much to look forward to.
Yeah, it's been really exciting for me, especially because I do editorial work, because, you know, before, like, maybe even 5 years ago, you never in a million years would have seen the star of a science fiction movie on the cover of Vogue or Harper's Bazaar. But now, you know, some of the magazines I work with, when they request cover girls, they request the lead in the new Marvel movie. They request the lead in the new Batman movie. And it's really interesting to watch and to see. That's really what people are into all over the world right now. So it's great.
Now, you work for the Chinese version of Elle and Harper's Bazaar. Do you find that their tastes, I mean, I'm obviously, as I'm asking, I'm like, oh, it's a stupid question, but is there that hunger for science fiction there as well?
It's kind of a new thing over there, but yes, I see that. I recently did a feature on directors and producers for Elle China's Men's Edition, and pretty much everybody that we featured was somebody that produced or directed a science fiction movie or a fantasy movie. So there's an interest in that and a curiosity about that. And also these movie companies they're really kind of seeking to be seen more overseas and to be more global. And just judging by the people I've interviewed, there is a real awareness of that in the entertainment industry. It'll be interesting to see where it goes in the future.
Well, I know that China is a huge market, and especially for film, and that's why we see a lot of the same things being released and sequels being released, because they're paying to see it. So I guess that is a sign of the times. You also worked for ToyDirectory.com. What is that?
I did. That was one of my earlier editorial jobs.
What is it?
It's a toy and game industry.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, I'm sure, but...
It was kind of how I cut my teeth in editorial. While I was interning for 944, I did some assistant work there. And it's really, that also plays into the science fiction and fantasy element. You know, I'd got to write about what action figure was hot at, that type of thing, what video game systems are in. So that was kind of a fun diversion and a different area to work in for a while.
I was looking over some of what they had in there, and I see these things. Like, there's all these new trends. I'm for the first time realizing that I'm getting old and I'm losing touch, because there are these pervasive, popular things that I know nothing about, and I hate that. So I know nothing about Minecraft, and I know nothing
little about it.
But it was one of the things that popped up when I looked up a toy directory. It popped up. And I know that, like, it's this huge thing with kids. And then I feel like I've missed out because I know nothing about Adventure Time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've become my dad. Like, my dad was, you know, it's Star Trek and there's nothing else. And that was as much sci-fi as, you know, it's like, that's all the sci-fi that he needed. And now I'm stuck in my, oh, that's not the same. You ruined Star Wars, you know.
Yeah, I've been there too. I mean, one of the things that I really love about doing editorial work is that you're really forced to stay current and research and learn about what all the new trends are. So that's been eye-opening and kind of fun for me.
So tell me some of the new trends. You got to help me. What do I need to know about? No, give me some nerd trends. Like,
nerd trends. Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, obviously the Avengers and all of the Marvel movies are just a juggernaut. That's a huge thing right now. And there's just sequel after sequel after sequel. And there's a new TV show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Have you watched it?
Popular too. I have. I like it. Yeah, you're putting me on the spot with the nerd.
I know.
About that more.
No, I'm excited. It's funny, cause my first two, my second interview, and they both are going to this huge Marvel media explosion. I'm super excited about it. I'm excited about where they're going to take all these stories and how they're all interconnected.
Yeah.
And the new shows that are coming on Netflix, I'm excited about. Hoping that it's not going to be an overload and then everybody's just going to get sick of it and it will disappear, because I want more of this.
Yeah.
And I want more of this as an artistic person too, because I want to be a part of it.
Same. Yeah. I think it's the entertainment industry is an exciting place to be right now, and so is publishing. So we'll see where it goes.
Now, speaking of that, what are you working on currently?
Currently, in Black Hill Press or in general?
Well, give me in general, and then we'll go more specific with Black Hill Press.
Okay. In general, I started coordinating cover stories for a few of the magazines I work with, which I'm excited about because normally I've been doing a lot of inside features, and covers are a huge thing for a journalist to work on, so that's exciting. And with Black Hill Press, I'm going to be taking on more of a marketing role in the future.
Ooh.
So I'm going to be starting as marketing manager and helping plan events and working on our social media and kind of just trying to get our name out there in the press.
That's amazing.
So I'm thrilled about that, yeah.
Are you going to take on any more editing jobs for Black Hill Press as well?
Well, I've just finished editing my third book with Black Hill Press, which is Avalon by Brett Arnold. It's an amazing book. It's a little bit different from what I've done in the past. It's not science fiction or fantasy, but it's a little bit in the vein of Ernest Hemingway, so it's kind of interesting.
Hmm.
And Brett's a really talented writer. As for after that, I'm not really sure yet. I've discussed a little bit with Veronica Bain about doing the sequel to Mara, since she plans to have some more Mara books, but right now I'm going to be focusing on the marketing.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So where do you see Black Hill Press going next year as the marketing director?
Well, I think our focus right now is to really just grow the company and get a little bit more exposure. I want to try to get more press coverage for the books, since they're so incredible and the artwork is so incredible, and we just have an amazing team. So we really just want to get as much exposure as possible, and we're also looking at doing book tours rather than the larger events that we've been doing, so doing smaller events at more venues. So we're excited about that too.
Oh, I like it. Traveling throughout California or outside of California as well, or
we're still kind of considering the possibilities, but we'll keep everyone updated.
Well, that's exciting. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thank you.
I hope this was fun and exciting as it was for me.
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll keep in touch with you and find out everything else that's going on. And Avalon will be available. Do you know when exactly that'll be available?
We're looking at a January release date. It should be in the next collection.
Excellent. Great. All right, Ashley Heaton, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
This has been The How and the Why by Black Hill Press. I'm John Barrett Ingalls. The show was produced by Kevin Stanek and yours truly. The music is Mea Lua by Bossa Zuzu. I wanted to thank everybody for your creativity and your inspiration, and to remind you all to keep making art. Thank you.